Now more of the Press Box, presented by The Control Option. Gain more control of your cash flow and wealth with The Control Option Mindset.
And welcome back to the Control Option Press Box. Frank Cusumano with Billiken Hall of Famer Bob Ramsey. Let's head to Lexington, KY and talk it over with Kenny Rice, one of the stars of Kentucky Derby coverage on NBC and also a former legendary anchor in the Lexington area. He joins us now. Kenny, great to be with you. How are you?
Hey, Frank, great. And it's always good to catch up with you, my friend.
So a lot to talk about. And I think it was you were like right out of the gate. As soon as the Calipari news became public on Sunday night, you suggested right away Rick Pitino. How feasible is that as they seemingly have gotten some no's from some prominent basketball minds around the country?
Absolutely no chance, although my personal pick would be Rick Pitino, but he would clash too much with Mitch Barnhart, who's a very low-key guy, and actually he and Calipari had a lot of issues the last couple of years. They did not have a communication basis. They had a liaison that worked between them, so you can imagine somebody as flamboyant as Rick, who is right there with Calipari, maybe even a step ahead in the flamboyancy. It just would be oil and water, but you know what? They need a big personality. You know this program, Frank. It's not like any, it's like very few programs, although it's lost a lot of edge in the last 7-8 years.
So, if not Pitino, which is really a sexy call, where do you think they're going? Big personality, but who's available that can do that and coach and hit the ground running? I mean, this is a challenge when you're at one of the Blue Bloods.
It is, and I think that the guy that's going to get the job, from all accounts today, I had a state police buddy of mine, a retired one at that, call me up. I said, what are you doing out on parole? You're retired. He has word that Scott Drew is coming up to Kentucky today.
Wow.
And we're going to all get together. So it would appear that Baylor coach is the front runner. He certainly has the credentials with the 2021 championship. Not what I would call the big personality of a Pitino, or certainly a Calipari, but, you know, more closer, I think, to a Tubby Smith, but, you know, who had some success here as well. But it looks like he and Mitch, and if you look it up, even Frank, they kind of look alike. They look like they could be related, you know, and they're both kind of low-key guys, very much into faith. And so I think that would probably, if I had to bet right now, I think that's an even money choice.
Yeah, and they got to become pretty good friends, I guess serving on some NCAA boards. There's like a previous relationship with the two of them. And you can't deny because, you know, Baylor was brutal, and then he made them relevant again in the national championship. And he does have kind of a southern kind of, I think people fall in love with him down there, even though he's not, as you mentioned, the flamboyant Pitino or Calipari.
Yeah, you know, they, and the thing is, you know, if they win, that's, you know, how it is. If they win here, they love you. People got mad at me. I tweeted out the other day because I've kind of enjoyed this. I think as long as you're not mean-spirited and go after anybody.
Yeah, I saw this. Yeah, this is good. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I put up a picture of Foxworthy and used the old joke, you know, you might not be, if your coach leaves for a mid-level program in the same conference as you, you may no longer be a blue blood.
Oh, and, look at you.
But you know what? I think it's true. And I'm a Kentuckian. I'm a graduate of UK. But, you know, facts are, since Kentucky's last championship in 98, they've won one title. That was in 12. In that period, UConn's won 6, Duke's won 3, North Carolina's won 3, Villanova, Kansas, even Florida, they've all won 2 apiece. So, you know, Kentucky's still relevant. But I think they're more along the lines of an Arizona, a Michigan State, even a Syracuse.
What about a UCLA? That's who I thought of.
Well, you know, see, to me, like, UCLA is borderline Indiana right now. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And I like Mick Cronin a lot. I've known Mick since he was a Murray State coach, Frank, you know, in the Ohio Valley Conference years ago. But, you know, you see where Indiana dropped off the map. I think Michigan's teetering. You know, they had to make a choice. Louisville certainly is in that position of falling into the abyss if they don't turn it around quickly. Now, Kentucky's nowhere near that. But, you know, they're still a top 20, 25 program. But again, you know, all that one and done stuff, they didn't really build anything. And you see Connecticut, yeah, they lost players. They mix it up. And, you know, John Calipari just didn't go that way. And, you know, it is, you know, the fans here didn't like Patino because he came back to Louisville. But there was a break in there where he went to the Boston Celtics. To me, I think Calipari is giving them a digit, which is not the index finger, because he's not only leaving Kentucky, where he could stay. He's not been forced out. He could stay if he wanted to. But he's going to a school that's going to compete against Kentucky for the SEC title.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, let's face it, everybody Sunday night is like shocked. Well, you're leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. But I've made the comparison a few times that it's like if you're living in a mansion that's worth $5 million with a woman who doesn't really like you, or would you rather live in a $3 million mansion with a woman who loves you? And he's going to be loved in Arkansas. And what do you think his approval rating is in Kentucky right now? I mean, before he actually decided to step down.
Well, you know, surprising that. I mean, you know, people, I'm going to tell you, I've never thought it would happen. You know, you worked here long enough, you know that too. I never thought it would happen that June would become as important as March in this state. But Calipari, with all those first-round picks and all those high-profile guys, and let's face it, Kentucky still could put out two all-star teams. They could put out 10 guys, 5-on-5, and have a heck of an all-star team out there. It's amazing the talent that's passed through. So for that reason, a lot of people still look back after the Billy Gillespie thing. It was falling apart here at Kentucky. You know, everybody was down. Even though he didn't have any losing seasons, it just was going nowhere. You could see that. And Calipari came in and bang, bang, you know, John Wall and Cousins and all these guys come in right off the bat. And then just a few years later, Anthony Davis wins him a title. But I always thought, you know, so they like him here. I mean, I'd say that probably 70% of the people wish him well. I wish him well. I just think that I don't think that he left the program as good as actually he inherited it, even though that Billy Gillespie had some moments where, well, more of a personal thing than a coaching thing, because he was still winning 20 games, but they weren't making any progress as far as making NCAA runs, which you certainly could say about Kentucky in the last 5 years. It's been a long time between actual being a viable team. And if you're a blue blood program, you don't lose to Oakland and St. Peter's in a 3-year period.
By the way, just to be fair and balanced here, and you know, to give a counterpoint to you insufferable Kentucky guys. I'm kidding. You know,
see, I'm really not, as Frank knows, Bob. That's why that's why I'm not on the UK network.
No,
I'm the last independent voice in Lexington, believe
me. Well, that's good. That's why we like you. But you know, I've literally bought into Arkansas because I have a kid going there. So I mean that literally. They don't have the tradition that so many schools have, and you don't even have to say nationally, even in the SEC, but there's no reason they can't. They have the facilities. They have the money. You just got to get the right guy in there to get it energized. And had it been there are a number of different candidates you could talk about, you'd go, well, I don't know. But we've seen Calipari win everywhere, and I don't know why he couldn't do it there.
Oh, he'll win there. I don't have any doubt. He'll win. He'll bring in some great recruiting classes. He'll create a lot of excitement. So his ability to win is not in question, you know.
Yeah.
The question is, will he change his philosophy a little bit? Because as we know, one and done worked with Boeheim, who I think is closer to Calipari than any Hall of Fame coach. Calipari and Boeheim are almost the same cloth. You know, great recruiters, had a lot of NBA talent. They had a generational player, Carmelo Anthony and Anthony Davis, that won for them. The only other one and done group that was led by a freshman was Duke in 15. They had those three great freshmen. But aside from that, the one and done did not bring success. Now, if you base success on draft choices and excitement, Kentucky's been the premier program in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
If you base it on championships, well, you got UConn, Duke, and North Carolina. So, you know, I think, to me, that's the gauge at a place like Kentucky. You know, if Nick Saban had not made some runs for Alabama in the last 4 or 5 years, he would not have been around for the last 4 or 5 years. And here they were a little more benevolent to John, and that's good because Calipari, as a person, is probably, I would say, Frank and Bob, he's probably the most benevolent guy to ever be in sports of any kind at UK. He was always generous to help people in floods and in tornadoes, and he went to Haiti and washed children's feet. I mean, this is a genuinely humble, nice guy as a person. As a coach, flamboyant, a lot of ones and dones, maybe made some decisions that certainly would be worthy of scrutiny.
And Bob, to let you know what an iconic iconoclast Kenny can be, when Patino was walking on water in Lexington, Kenny did a story, and you'll get a kick out of this, Bob, about the remember the 1960s Green Acres?
Of course.
And the way it opened up? Well, Kenny, pick up the story from there, how you compared the two situations.
Well, you know, his wife, who's a lovely lady, she didn't like my Kentucky, and I can relate to that. She's a New Yorker. She moves down here. Lexington is not what you call fast-paced. It's very comfortable. It's why I stay here. But I played the New York. I played the Green Acres theme, and I'd show Rick, you know, old New York, and then I'd show Joanne, I want to leave. This is where I want to stay.
So High Squares.
They Times Square, you know, fresh air. You are my wife. Goodbye, city life. And, you know, there's Joanne moving. So Rick sort of liked it eventually. I think he got it. You know, I wasn't going after her like Sports Illustrated did one time. But it was just funny because it was very clear she didn't come to many games. She didn't want to be here. And Rick is Rick. As you know, he's in his own planet. And they were a lot of – it was fun. You know, it was fun times. I don't know if you could do that. I think John was a little more sensitive than Rick. Rick's a pretty thin skin. Rick's a lot tougher New Yorker, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Well, he's a Pittsburgh guy. What am I talking about? He's a Pittsburgh guy, you know, Calipari is. But incredibly not. He met my dad last year. And my dad, as you know, Frank's 95 years old. God bless. He's doing great. He's a retired federal coal mine inspector. Well, Calipari's family worked in coal mines in western Pennsylvania. And so he was talking about coal mining with my dad. So that's the kind of a person Calipari is. So believe me, it's not to imply at all him as his character or as a human being. It's just I've always questioned the one and done and the continuing not adapting as other programs have adapted to blending in other players to try to make those championship runs, which is what you expect when you're making $9 million a year.
Yeah, the one thing that really kind of killed them with a lot of Kentucky fans, I think you'll agree, is when they had that, you know, five-person first-round draft that it was just insane. It's never been done. And he called that, I think, the best day in the history of Kentucky basketball. That didn't sit well, did it?
You know what? That still grates with a lot of people, including the great Dan Issel, one of the greatest to ever play at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, it's those eight championship banners. Only UCLA's won more, and people here take a lot of pride in that. But John convinced them that, you know, these recruiting classes, look, we're number one. And as I said, you know, I'd hate to say I got the best of everything, but I didn't do anything with it. So I think it was an underachieving program since 2015. And he did one other thing that, listen, you know, it's controversial, but they all took a knee down in Florida, he and his team. He allowed his team to do that. They made a political statement on foreign soil, as we'll say, at the University of Florida. And honestly, you know, a lot of veteran players, a lot of veterans who go to games, okay, Army veterans, Navy, Air Force, Marines, you know, and a lot of people that support the program, you know, they come from families or they themselves were veterans. And, you know, they took umbrage to that because you didn't see, you know, Krzyzewski and Roy Williams and Bill Self and guys like that making political statements. But I think the difference with Cal compared to a lot of other coaches, and Hurley, Dan Hurley just summed it up. I read this about where he said, you know, you come to UConn, and because of name, image, likeness, we're providing you with a lot of things. So it's a quid pro quo. You owe us. Yes, we will take care of you. Financially, you can get it now. You can get great travel and food and all that. In return, you're supposed to win for this school and represent this school. He was, you know, he was school first. A lot of players had to fall into that. At UK, Cal has been players first. It's about the players. And then we'll come around if we win a championship, great. But we want to get you to the NBA. And I think that was his Waterloo, as it turned out, in the last few years at UK.
Well phrased. Kenny, great to hear your voice. Thanks so much for your time. You have an early Derby favorite for us, by the way?
Catching Freedom. He'll be about the third choice, maybe the fourth choice. He'll probably go off around 5-6-1 right now. Sierra Leone and Fierceness will probably be the top two picks, but I'm going to take a shot. He had a good close in the Louisiana Derby, Catching Freedom.
We have some degenerate gamblers that listen to this program. I think they're writing down notes.
No.
All right, say hi to your dad. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Frank, I love you, man. Thank you.
All right. Kenny Rice from Lexington KY joining us. We'll take a short time out. A little five for Bob and Frank, including a great story about Jordan Goodwin coming up.